put your hands together.
It was the birthplace of Triple M Sport way back when.
A new era.
Make sure you've got your comfy pants on for the all-new 2020 fresh Triple M Dead Set Legends. Gus Wallen.
The captain.
Jude Bolton.
Chris Demaculate.
Wendell Saylor.
That'll be enough for a penalty.
Because let's face it, Saturday is all right for fighting. Dead Set Legends.
Yeah, welcome to the Dead Set Legends. Gus Wallen here. I've got Wendell Saylor and Jude Bolton right next to me. Boys, sport is cancelled.
Sport is off.
What is going on with this wild world that we're living in at the moment? Where were you, Jude, when you found out that the AFL was done and dusted, at least postponed for the time being?
Yeah, I had my nephews over, just my two young nephews playing with my daughters and that sort of stuff, and then the press conference came on. Gil McLaughlin comes on, and we just put all the sound down and just listened to there. I guess it was inevitable, but I think we're all holding on to that hope that a bit of sport was going to continue.
How do you reckon he went, the boss of the AFL? I personally thought he was pretty impressive.
He's been pretty impressive. I think he looks like he's been bashed from pillar to post.
Doesn't he look older?
Oh,
looks like he's been on a Bucks weekend, isn't he? And
yeah, you
got
know,
no
you
sleep.
You come back
weekend
at Bernie
style.
You walk in, your liver's cooked.
Yeah, because he's not a bad looking bloke normally.
Oh, he's pretty
sharp.
He now
looks like Todd Greenberg.
Bloody.
What about you, Dil? Where were you when the NRL got shut?
Yeah, I had a weekend with Sydney with the wifey and sort of got home and sort of relaxed. And you know it's coming, but you don't want to hear the words. So obviously when sport got shut down, sport's been our life, you know. And we talk at this show, Dead Set Legends, and part of it is like Friday night, Saturday night, you know, you're talking about sport.
Yeah.
And part of me sort of shut down too. I'm going, what am I going to watch all week? And you probably don't realise until even like last night, usually Friday night is back-to-back games.
That was meant to be the Rooster South last night.
Yeah.
But you've also called the first couple of rounds the NRL, yeah. And then you realise how big the fans make the game as well, don't you?
Yeah, you do get it. I mean, you know, when we called that game on Thursday night, you just didn't think it was going to go this way, and then Saturday, obviously, Paul with Sturlo and Maroon and that. But, look, it's the right decision at this point in time, but it still just makes it hard all week. Especially, like, I know that you're quite active, Gussie. You're outdoors and Jude. Mate, even the gym, just we'll talk about it later, but just...
We're done and dusted now. It's all outside. That could be all over in a couple of days.
You know,
time.
I like seeing my friends. I like catching up for coffees and that. And we'll talk about that later. But yeah, it's just been so different.
The big Dell's a social butterfly.
He's
hurting at the moment.
How is he dealing in social isolation? Not very well. We've got lots of stuff going on the show. We've got Maddie Shervington coming on, a great mate of all of ours, talking around the Olympics. It's now Tokyo 2021. We've got the Ben Cousins story interview there with one of the guys from Channel 7. Dylan Alcott's going to talk about the Olympics as well. He's on his own radio show at the moment. He'll join us soon. But coming up next, we're going to talk around the update around the money, the pay and the packages that are going forward with Brenton Reed from The Australian. It's the Dead Set Legends. Next couple of hours, talking sport.
Another Sydney Saturday morning.
Oh, you ripper.
Now around the track for another lap.
Absolutely brilliant.
The Triple M Dead Set Legends.
Yeah, this is the Dead Set Legends, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Gus Wallen, Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor with you. We do the show thanks to our mates at LDV. See the great offers on the T60 dual cab utes at ldvautomotive.com.au. A massive shout out to them and Paddies that have stuck with us even though we haven't got the live sport going. So great supporters of the show.
Good on you guys. Thanks, Paddies.
And also one of the fantastic guys, Brent Reed from The Australian, also here with Triple M. He's on the line right now. G'day, Reedy.
Hello, boys.
Mate, great to have you on. Could you give us an update, mate, on this pay cut the players are going to have to take? What sort of percentages do you think it'll end up sitting at for them?
Look, I mean, the figure that's been bandied around is a bit inflated because you've got to remember the players have already received 5 months' pay.
Right.
Been guaranteed 6 months' pay. So Peter Volandis has put together a package. He's going to take it. He's already taken it to the players, and it sounds like it's been accepted. He's going to take it to the clubs on Monday. It looks like the players will probably lose about 35 to 40% of their income this year. So it would be about 75% or so of what they're owing from here in. But overall, you've got to remember that, as I said, they had 5 months, 6 months pay already. So it would end up being about 35% or so of their overall year's income.
Right. So, Reddy, that's why when Clint Newton was going in there and talking to Todd Greenberg and that, it seemed like tough talks. And I just thought at some stage the players mightn't get anything out of it.
Well, I mean, I don't think that was ever on the table, Dale. There was always an offer of some cash. I mean, I think it was 12.4 was the figure that was bandied about. I think that's now around $20 million or so. So it's gone significantly up from there. But to do that, Peter Vlandis had to cut some fat out of head office. And, you know, I think we're going to find that at the end of this, the Rugby League Central itself is going to be a pretty threadbare operation, because the clubs are pretty concerned that they spent a lot of money at the governing body, and they probably could direct more to the clubs and the players. So Peter found some more cash, and it sounds like he's going to get the deal done early next week.
You spoke about a bit of that fat at head office. There was $182 million of NRL running costs in 2019. That seems exorbitant. Is that right?
Yeah, well, that's in their annual report, I believe. So, I mean, it's an accurate figure. You've got to remember that spread across... The NRL looks after every aspect of the game. They don't just look after the top competition. They're looking after grassroots footy, and they spread money to the state league. So it's a pretty big operation, but I think there's genuine concern, certainly in clubland, the amount of money that's being spent there. And as I said, I think you'll find at the end of all this, that's one of the areas that's going to suffer some pretty severe cuts. I think you'll find that Rugby League Central will be there'll be a bit of a tighter ship there moving forward.
Hey, Reedy, I know obviously you guys do your job and you're very good at it, but a guy like Tyson Frizzell at the moment, I saw him make a comment regarding his contract. That must be hard one, because obviously we knew for a long time that he was in talks with Newcastle and really nobody else. How will that go about registering that contract now in these tough times?
Well, it's a really interesting one, Bill, isn't it? Because, you know, we're talking about salary cap cuts now, but there's going to be cuts next year and the year after. Now, Tyson signed a contract, and Newcastle's negotiated, and the Dragons negotiated with him based on what the cap is at the moment for next year and the year after. But there's no way it's going to stay there. I mean, the cap's going to go down significantly next year. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes down by $1 million or more. And when you consider a guy like Tyson's on, what, 700, or that's the offer we believe, that's a pretty sizable chunk of the salary cap. So there's no way that contract will stay as it is right now. I'd be stunned if it does. And the NRL aren't unregistering any deals anyway until they've sorted that out. So he could be in limbo for quite some time, Tyson, because that's not going to be an easy conversation. Can you imagine the players in the NRL discussing, you know, a cut of the salary cap, about a 10% cut of the salary cap moving forward beyond this season? It's not going to happen quickly, I don't think. So Tyson might be in limbo for a while.
Reedy, we've seen Shane Richardson, obviously a shock exit at the Bunnies, and you know, we also found a, you know, the breakdown in relationship with Sam Burgess. How have you seen that play out? And you know, he's come across as almost the hero of stepping away to save the Bunnies, but he gets to take a fair clip on the way out as well.
Yeah, look, I'm pretty good mates with Richard, and I reckon I've had a sense for a while that things weren't really going well there. And there was obviously that story at the end of last year that Nick Pappas and him had sort of slightly fallen out, and there's been ongoing rumours that he and Wayne aren't on the best of terms. They both sort of denied that, but, you know, where there's smoke, there's a bit of fire, and obviously the Burgess rumour has been doing the rounds for a while now. You know, I don't think Richo's been comfortable there for a while. I think, you know, he's probably been considering this move for not weeks, I'd say months, and, you know, he was obviously really tight to Sam back in the day. I mean, they were thick as thieves back in the day, but things haven't been well there for a while now, and Richo's made the decision to move. Obviously, there's been a lot of talk about the payout and how much it was and how much he got. And I can understand why, given, you know, the suggestion was that he was leaving to help the club through a difficult financial period. But if you believe the rumours, he walked away with a pretty hefty payout. So, you know, he's a mate of mine, as I said. I think people can make a decision of their own on that.
Yeah, no, we appreciate it, Reedy. There's so much we'd love to talk to you about. We just haven't got the time, mate. So thank you so much, and keep looking after yourself in these tough times. We look forward to reading all your stuff, of course, in The Australian. And coming up next on the Dead Set Legends, we have the Burly Curly, all thanks to Paddy's.
Another Sydney Saturday morning.
Oh, you ripper.
Now around the track for another lap.
Absolutely brilliant.
The Triple M Dead Set Legends.
Yeah, so Dead Set Legends, Gus Wall and Jude Bolton and Wendell Salem. We're doing it for LDV and Paddy's. And now it's time for the Burly Curly.
The Burly Curly.
Yeah, this is an opportunity normally for Jude and I to have a chat to Del, throw different questions at him around the game of rugby league. But because we're in this mad time, we're actually going to go to a quote from the Eighth Immortal, Andrew Johns, who said this on Freddie and the Eighth.
The worrying thing for me, this year I could see a bigger difference between the elite and the poor clubs, the clubs that were struggling. This, when we come back, the gap is going to go bigger and bigger and bigger. I've been saying for a while that I think the best number is 12 teams for the competition. How we do that is, I've been saying for a while, only the strong survive. Maybe this forces the hand.
Yeah, will it force the hand? Give us a call on 1-3-3-5-3. Get involved in this conversation. 1-3-3-5-3. Do you believe that Joey Johns is right? And if so, which club would you like to be culled? Now, Del, straight over to you, big fella. Were you surprised when Andrew Johns said that?
Oh, look, a lot of people have been talking about it for a long time. But, yeah, I was in this point in time when everyone's going through everything. Yeah, for Joe to say that number 12, because Newcastle not so long ago were in trouble themselves. And I think, was it Wes?
Yeah, Wes came in.
Yeah, they came in. And so I think he's happy to sort of say that now.
One of the things he's mentioned was the stronger are only going to get stronger this period. Do you agree with that or not?
Yeah, I think he's right. I think there's no doubt he's right. That's how much we need the NRL at the moment, and obviously clubs are fighting for their survival.
And this impacts pathways into the NRL at the moment as well.
Of course it does, especially as we understand now the reserve grade comps in Queensland, the Intrust Cup and that, the Canterbury Cup, it's closed down this year,
Are you surprised that the game seems to be, it's taken obviously something massive like this, but all of a sudden, bang, we're right on the edge. Like, I thought the game was in really healthy, big money deals with the TV and the clubs were going well and stuff. I'm surprised that we're in this position so quickly.
Well, I think since the Super League and ARL war, obviously pay packets got inflated. There was no arguments back in the day. Players were pretty happy. But I reckon for a long time there's been Band-Aid solutions through the way. Obviously Origin payments and that, and obviously the Women's Rugby League coming through. And now people are realising, well, geez, our game runs it, as you said, $185 million a year. So all of a sudden people are going, how can our game sustain this? Mm. Something's got to give. Players don't want to take a pay cut, which I can understand to an extent, but when the general public themselves, we ask them to pay memberships and that, they've got no jobs at the moment. How can you not take a pay cut?
Okay, so if there's one club that you want to get culled, right? Wants 12, all right? So we've got 16 at the moment. So just give us one of the four that you would cull.
The Titans.
Oh, well, everyone would agree with the Titans.
Only because at the Gold Coast.
That's soft, though, going the Titans.
Yeah.
Okay, how many clubs in Sydney would you have? Is there a number that you'd sit with?
I'd have to really have a think about it. But, let's go to our listeners. Let's ask our listeners. Let's ask our listeners.
1-3-3-5-3.
And if you want to
three,
just have a crack at Del for sitting on the fence, you're
right there, Splinters. Okay. 1-3-3-5-3. And the best caller will get a Sydney Kings Game 7 tickets.
Corporate box.
Corporate box. All the food you ever want. Which club should be culled from the NRL? Give us a call on 1-3-3-5-3.
Another Sydney Saturday morning.
Oh, ripper.
Now around the track for another lap.
Absolutely brilliant.
The Triple M Dead Set Legends.
Yeah, this is the Dead Set Legends. Gus Wallen, Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor. We're doing it for LDV, but this part is the Burley Curly.
Oh!
Curly.
Brought to you by Paddy's. We normally throw questions at Del and ask him his opinions around the game of rugby league, but we're talking today around what Joey John said. The Eighth Immortal said on Freddie in the Eighth that he believes 12 teams is about right for the NRL. This is an opportunity to cull some of the weaker sides and stuff. So we threw it open on 1-3-3-5-3. Which team would you get rid of? We've got Richard in Prospect. What are your thoughts, Richard?
G'day, legends. Look, I think it's only... This is an opportunity now that I suppose the game can take advantage of. We need a true national rugby league. I mean, it's the NRL, but it's not really the NRL.
Mm.
I would actually go to the extent of saying, okay, we want franchises and we want them in the different zones. So WA, if it's Adelaide, South Coast, there's too many sides that are on top of each other and the game's never going to make money when it's like that. You can't have St. George and Cronulla, neighbouring, you're not going to develop that that patriotism in the game that is required. It's our chance to become a truly national competition, and I think you need to see where the areas of growth are. It's a sin not having, the Central Coast, not having that represented. Yeah, we have clubs on top of each other.
Appreciate that, Richard. That's a lot of thoughts in here. We've got so many calls to get through. What about Ryan in Windsor? Ryan, who would you get rid of, brother?
Hey, mate, I reckon this is a great chance to get rid of South Sydney again. They've got no teeth. They drink mepho. Just bugger them off. Perfect chance.
Normally I'd agree with you, Ryan. Let's go with Kenny in Warriewood. Who would you get rid of, Kenny?
No.
Oh, Dan in Castle Hill. G'day, Dan. Who would you get rid of, brother?
Hey, boys. Love the show.
Thanks.
Personally, I wouldn't get rid of anyone. What I would do is I would take this opportunity for the News Limited clubs and all the Super League clubs to be, like, not put on that pedestal and have all 16 clubs at the same level financially and then see who survives.
Well, Joey thinks that the strong are going to get stronger, and I think the other thing is that they're getting this rescue package, $1.2 million. It'll only last for, you know, the best part of 3 months.
Yes.
That's that. I mean, it shows that the books need to be cleaned up across all the league, really. All clubs.
Exactly right. We were writing down here which clubs we would cull to make it 12, right?
And I said the Titans.
You said, well, everyone agrees with the Titans. Okay. Even the Titans say the Titans.
Warriors.
Yeah, you said Warriors too, dude.
Warriors. Do you need the Warriors because it's New Zealand,
Jeez,
right?
How selfless were they, though? You know,
they were
the ones that propped up the league.
That's a very good point. Yeah. So do we keep the Warriors in just because it's New Zealand, even though they don't deserve it on their performances?
Oh,
I mean, they've been myths for so long.
They got to the grand final against the Roosters, that you remember?
Yeah, well, they led with 20 minutes to go.
Yeah.
So, Anyway, let's go there on the socials. Which four clubs would you cull? Which four clubs would you cull? And everyone is pretty much saying the Sharks, which is a bit harsh. People are saying Manly. You can't take Manly,
Gussie,
down.
Gussie, can I say,
surely.
Gussie, you said Manly.
What?
You said Manly, but dude, did
he
not say?
He did. He didn't want to say it on air, but it's absolute crap.
We're on air.
Hey.
So we're on air. Hey.
Okay, so did you say that or not?
Dead Set Legends. Let's go to an ad break.
Another Sydney Saturday morning. Now around the track for another lap.
Absolutely brilliant.
The Triple M Dead Set Legends.
The Dead Set Legends here with Gus Wall and Jude Bolt and Wendell Saylor. Maroon's just come in because his show starts at 12.
Mate, he burst in the door. He heard you talk about getting rid of South and he kicked the door in.
Blah, blah, blah. Then I've got into Richo and he's gone, oh, mate, Richo's got more talent than he's bottom toe than Hugh Jackman has in blah, blah, blah.
You did get your nose out of joint when he had a go at Jacko, didn't
you?
Yeah, I could just see you drop.
Actually, where is Jacko? We haven't had him on the show yet.
Like, he just called Hugh Jackman your acting mate. He's the greatest entertainer on the planet.
Oh, no,
so let's just get back in your box, Maroon.
He's up there.
Righto, let's talk, boys, about isolation. The simple fact is, what have you guys been doing in the last week you haven't been able to get on and do your normal stuff?
Well, let's be honest. I've got two daughters, 8 and 6, Ciara and Piper, and
not at school.
Not at school. So it just dawned on me this week that people actually choose to homeschool their kids, which is just staggering. How do people deal with it? Because I'm like that Marcellus Wallace in Pulp Fiction when they ask him how he's gone after the gimp scene, and he goes, "I'm pretty effing far from okay at the moment. I'm on the just wired up at the moment."
It's been tough for me because I usually get to do what I want to do when I want to do it in and around my place and around Wollongong. Like, I don't want to say I am Wollongong, but virtually, like, so I come to Sydney and I do my stuff and that, but then play beach touch, have coffee, like at Diggy's with my mates and that, go to the gym. Obviously, the gyms are closed down now. Mm. So for the first 3 days, I was pretty shattered, but not just because of that, but because my wife was at home, my son was at home, because obviously, you know, the NRL's closed down. And then my daughter, she's in grade 12, they're allowed to, you know, do it from home and
that. Yeah, they're zooming in, aren't they?
Yeah, and then obviously Dobby and I just do what we want, the dog, so the Dashie, we do what we want.
Yeah.
But even, like, I've just had enough, there's too many people, like, sort of rolling into my sort of days and stuff. Like,
didn't you get your nose out of joint when your daughter Matisse had a friend over just last night? Is that right? Or not? Like, you weren't happy that it was just encroaching on your space your Friday nights?
Yeah, I wasn't so much happy. I know she had a friend come over and they kept their distance and that, but, like, I'm just thinking, like, you sort of got to ask me about it or tell me about it because it's just been a big week, and I know it's going to take a lot of change in that, but
I've seen you play golf on socials, or is that you recording when you played in the past?
No. Self-isolation?
Well, to be fair, so I didn't play golf Wednesday because I thought, you know, I'll probably do the right thing, and then I found out, like,
golf courses are still open, aren't they?
They're still open. As long as you, obviously, there's the 1.5 metre rule, one to a cart, you can walk, but you can't, like, rake the bunkers, you can't touch the flags. So yesterday, I went and played Friday Skinners because I needed to get out. So Dobby and I have been getting out and about, but yesterday I had to play golf. So I played golf. Obviously, the club's closed, but the pro shop's open, and you sort of got to make sure that there's only two or three in the shop at a certain distance.
Yeah.
So I did that, and that I sort of got a bit sane. I was going, oh, that's great. Came home, and then everyone's home, and then the friends over and that. And
they're your family, mate.
I know, but
why don't you just enjoy your family time together?
I know.
He thinks he's self-isolating by just driving down the middle too. Like he thinks he's down the middle and all his playing partners are out.
You got to tell me. You got to sort of give me a heads up because I need to know.
You're a complete clown, mate. Dead set legend.
Another Sydney Saturday morning. Now around the track for another lap.
Absolutely brilliant.
The Triple M Dead Set Legends.
The Dead Set Legends, Gus Wallen, Jude Bolton and Wendell Sato. And don't forget to subscribe to the Dead Set Legends podcast on the Triple M app to listen anytime at triplem.com.au. We've got Dylan Orcott coming up, boys. Also, we're going to be talking about the Ben Cousins documentary and Matt Shervington talking around the Olympics. It's now Tokyo 2021, not 2020.
It hasn't got a good ring to it, has it?
2021?
Yeah.
Well, 2020 has been a disaster.
Oh, no, it has. We know that.
Can we just put a line through 2020?
You know what's a bit of a disaster, though? Like, you were actually ripping into Dell around, obviously the isolation, social isolation stuff. But I want to talk to you about hygiene because your wife is currently in quarantine at the moment.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, she's in mate's place in Collaroy at the moment. I haven't seen her she was away for 2 weeks and now she's 10 of the 14 days away.
Oh, so everyone's been talking about washing hands and being really, sterile.
Absolutely.
And that's however, have you washed your sheets in the time that Vix has been away?
No.
My God.
Well, the reason.
What's the reason?
Well, I just don't think about that type of stuff.
Oh, please.
And Abby, my youngest daughter, was FaceTiming my wife, and she was actually on our bed doing some work because she's in year 11 and she's being homeschooled at the moment. And Vicky goes, is that the same set of sheets that I left your dad with?
And how long ago was that? Just
that was coming up 2 weeks and 10 days. So whatever that is.
Oh, that's
20 odd days. How often are you meant to change your sheets?
I don't know how often.
How would you
more,
know?
More frequently
than
that.
Have you ever cleaned sheets ever in your life?
No, because we've got.
What do you mean that's?
No,
because are you going to say that's Tara's job?
No, because everyone's got their own sort of role. Everyone's got their own sort of role in the house.
I mean, how often do you mean to change your sheets?
Once a week. Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Really? Once a week?
Once a week.
Well, they're changed now. I've been told to change them now. But
you're filthy animal.
It's not like I've been doing anything.
Get some hygiene.
So.
Get a jar in there. He's in this tight office.
Oh, I'm out.
Dead set, then.
Another Sydney Saturday morning.
Oh, you ripper.
Now around the track for another lap.
Absolutely brilliant.
The Triple M Dead Set Legends.
It's Gus Wallen, Jude Bolton and Wendell Sadler. We do the show thanks to our mates at LDV. See the great offers on the T60 dual cab utes at ldvautomotive.com.au and our friends at Paddy's. Thanks so much, guys, for sticking by us. No live sport. They could have easily pulled the pin, but they haven't. They've stuck with us and we very much appreciate it. And talking around the isolation and the dramas we're having at the moment, so many people working from home. Life at the moment is very difficult for people. There's a real change and people feel a little bit out of control. And of course, you know, I left the breakfast show, Moon Man in the Morning, and after 8 or 9 years on the grill team before that, to actually get more full time into Gotcha for Life, my men's mental health foundation. Now,
more important time though now, is it?
Well, it's exactly right, Jude and Wendell, and I know both of you support me at Gotcha for Life and ambassadors and so forth. But a lot of people have been getting in contact with me over the last couple of weeks, saying I'm feeling a bit out of control. I'm not quite sure what to do. I don't like being isolated. I don't like feeling like I'm not being able to socialise. Well, if I could give some people some tips that I've been giving others where I'm seeing them and when I'm talking on socials, just because you're isolated doesn't mean you have to be away from everyone. You can still be in contact with people. Technology is a wonderful thing. And the most important thing you can do at the moment is making sure you're checking in with what I call your village. Now, it doesn't mean you have to look after the world and the planet, just look after your little village. And what I mean by that is your mum and dad, your aunties and uncles, the older people in the game. Make sure you give them a tingle, give them a phone call. If they're up on technology, FaceTime them. Just be in contact somehow. Drive around and drop something at their... You don't have to see them. Just drop it at the front door, drive away, honk the horn. They'll come to the window. And that way you're just connecting. You're just feeling like you're not isolated. You feel like people have still got your back and they're covering you.
It's a physical separation. It's not an emotional, isn't it? I think that's one of the things that I've been trying to focus on. I've got a 94-year-old grandfather down in a nursing home in Victoria and just trying to keep the kids in contact with him and also my parents. They're over 70 and things like that in the high-risk sort of category. So, you know, it's you sort of sit there and go, we're preparing for the worst, but, you know, keep that connection as well.
Boys, what I found too, like early in the week when you're getting all this information, because you're watching everything, you're looking at your socials, and when it, like, it's, they don't mean to be negative, but you're just looking, seeing negative
oh,
stuff.
Yeah.
And then for me, I understood after about 2 days, okay, this is where we're at. I'd look at an update then, but then I'd go away from it and do something with it, play some good music, go for a walk with the dog or something, because then that was getting me down. And I'm thinking, it's going to be, it's the end of the world. Mm. Oh, this is a movie. And then so, and the media, I mean, we in the media don't mean to sort of dramatize it or whatever, but all of a sudden everyone's going, oh, this is what's going to happen. And you're thinking, mate, I want some good news.
Well, we're getting some mixed news as well. You need to stay in contact, and you're right to watch the news and so forth. But if you can just watch one channel, or if you can just listen to one radio station, or if you can go to one website, and what I've found is I've found the government to be really important in this. So I just go to the government site at the start of every day, at the end of every day, and I do whatever I'm told. It's so fluid, the situation. But the one thing I know I can do and I can control is actually phoning up my village, my community, and keeping in contact with them. And then reminding them, make sure they contact someone. So we're about to do something on socials with Gotcha for Life. It's about to be launched in a couple of hours' time. We'll talk more about it next week. But it's all about connecting with people that perhaps you wouldn't normally connect with as well. Yeah. So make sure you look after each other out there.
A virtual beer, you know, grabbing a few mates so you might not have seen for a while.
Oh, I've seen so many people with four or five people on Zoom all having a drink together at 5 o'clock because they're normally at the beer having it together. They're actually now at home doing it. Like you say, it's a physical isolation, but in terms of our what we need in terms of our heart and our minds and what keeps us going and stuff, the emotional stuff, the most important thing is just staying in contact in whatever way you can. So hopefully that helps people, because we don't have to be completely isolated. And we'll do our best in the next hour or so to keep you having a laugh as well before the boys come on at 12 o'clock and talk things all rugby league.
I got you, bro.